seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the second epistle of Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 17. The second epistle of Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The second epistle of Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You will remember that we tried very feebly this morning to look a little at this first part of the text, of how the Lord wonderfully stood by the dear apostle. And what a mercy it was for Paul to truly feel this. And may we, and it is my soul's desire, that each of us, as we venture on from this hour today, may be favoured to know what he felt. The Lord stood by me, or stood, as the text says, with me. Because it will be well with us if that is so. But we looked a little at the reasons why the Lord stood with him. And we named quite a few things, but I want us help to go further with the text, because in it are some of the sacred reasons why the Lord stood with him. And the first reason the dear apostle gives is, and strengthened me. You know, really, all what he had to go through, how he continually needed the Lord to stand with him and to strengthen him. You see, in the first instance, he knew ever so much his weakness. Because when he was brought before, as we looked at this morning, the council there in Jerusalem, and then too in the ship in Acts 27 that we read of this morning, there was much to weaken him, wasn't there? And there's much to weaken us. And if we are the children of God, the Lord will continually teach us our weakness. And then if we are taught that weakness, we should have to look to the Lord to give us that strength that we so need. Whether it be in body, whether it be in mind, or whether it be in our souls. And he says here, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He particularly emphasizes to dear Timothy, his son in the faith, that this is what the Lord favored him with. And I'm persuaded of this, that this is what he desired for dear Timothy. That's why he writes it to him. And I would lovingly say two things really this afternoon regarding this. And that is, we desire it for Marcus as he ventures forth, that he might know what the apostle did too. And secondly, it is our soul's desire that we might each of us here know it. Because if we know what it is for the Lord to stand with us and strengthen us, we shall prove his strength, his power, his gracious might. And now there are things, of course, the apostle needs strengthening in. First of all, when we think of those in the time when he was in the ship, they were deprived of much food, and so his body would have become very weak. And two, in mind, because Satan would work on that in every way. But above it all, he needed strengthening in his soul. And what do we read? He says on another occasion, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And it was only as the Lord gave him strength that he could speak. It was only as the Lord gave him strength that he could move, that he could walk, that he could handle anything. And the same applied in his soul, because he needed the Lord, and do not we, to strengthen us in faith. We read in the Word of God, don't we, of those that were strong in faith, giving God the glory. And one feels in this dark, solemn day, there seems so little faith compared with what there were in our early days and in the generations past. They were men of strong faith, godly women with strong faith. They believed the things they prayed for, the Lord would grant them. This is why they ask him. Well, let us look at just one or two characters in the Word of God where the Lord made them strong in faith. Now, I seek to be led into this. You think of godly Abraham in two ways. First of all, when the Lord gave him that wonderful promise that he would have seed such as the stars of heaven in number. But you look how, as time went on, Abraham got old and so did Sarah. And naturally it was impossible that the promise would ever be fulfilled. But the Lord gave him strength of faith to believe that what God had said he would fulfill. And we read, don't we, concerning dear Abraham, and this shows how the Lord strengthened his faith. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But then, think of the time when the Lord was to try his faith and prove his faith. When the Lord commanded him to take up Isaac and to offer him up as a sacrifice before God. Oh, the faith that he needed to believe the Lord would provide and that he would spare Isaac's life. And you think of the faith the dear man had when he laid Isaac upon that altar to offer him up. We sung this morning that beautiful concluding hymn, didn't we? The Lord will provide. And you look how he provided strength for Abraham to do it, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. and how the Lord wonderfully strengthened Abraham's faith to do it. I've often quoted those words from that sacred chapter, what he said to the servants, Abraham said to the servants when he was to take Isaac up and to offer him up. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and come again. He didn't just say, I and the lad will go yonder and I will come again. I and the lad will come again. He believed the Lord would wonderfully provide for him. And you look how he provided that ram caught in the thicket. A beautiful type, and Abraham saw it by faith, of the dear Lord Jesus caught up in covenant engagements. But then we think too of Elijah. You go up unto Mount Carmel, and oh, you look at the faith given to the dear man to prove to the prophets of Baal who was the living God in Israel. And there on Mount Carmel, he proves to them who was the living God. And all the strength of faith given to the dear man to believe God would appear. And you look how the prophets of Baal, they called upon their gods, but there was neither voice nor hearing. There was no faith in them that asked. Those worshippers of Baal, they were sunk in unbelief. But then, look at dear Elijah. What does he do? He prayed a beautiful prayer, you know. I often think of it. Let it be known this day that thou art God, and that I am thy servant. Let it be known. And faith believed the Lord would send the fire down. And the Lord did, didn't he? Oh, may we, as we seek to approach unto the Lord like Elijah did, have that faith. It's like I mentioned in prayer. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And here with Abraham, a diligent seeker, Elijah, a diligent seeker of the Lord, they believed God, and the Lord granted them their request. And think about the Apostle Paul in what we read in Acts 27 this morning, of how he believed what the Lord had said. Faith believed it. I love that couplet of the hymn. It's very beautiful, really, isn't it? Faith believes it, and hope expects it. And you look at the apostle there, well, faith believed that the Lord had said that not one of them would be lost in that sea. And hope expected it. Now, will you take that home with you tonight and think really the reality of it. Faith believed it, and hope expects it. And that's how real it is. With the real child of God. And it was with Abraham, it was with Elijah. The trouble is, we're so often full of unbelief, aren't we? We're doubting. We're fearing. We're trembling. We doubt before God. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. To strengthen and strengthen me. And you think in your afflictions, Oh, to know in our afflictions the Lord stand with us and strengthen us in all the afflictions of the journey. Well, of course, a wonderful proof of this was known by the dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus himself. Now, I mentioned this morning of how they all forsook him and fled, like they did with the Apostle Paul here. But listen, think of the Saviour in all his agonies. Let us ever remember, though he was verily God, he was verily man. He knew his weakness as a man. Oh, he did. So he can sympathise with you in all your weaknesses, because he knows and knew exactly the weakness there was. And in the intensity of those sufferings in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Saviour knew so much of his weakness. And what do we read? That God the Father, his beloved Father, dispatched from heaven an angel to strengthen him. You know, I love that case. You think of the precious Redeemer, needed strengthening as verily man and yet verily God. And in his humanity, he knew what it was to know that weakness. But the Lord sent his angel to strengthen him. And here we have the apostle sweetly saying, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Now, some of you may have things before you today. It may be regarding the hospital. It may be concerning mountains that you have in your pathway. Things that you've got to walk through, which are all appointed by God. And you may look at them and you say, oh Lord, we can't go through this. We can't go through this way. It seems too impossible to us. It may be Satan is roaring and buffeting you. And how can you stand against his mighty power? Well, you will be able to if the Lord stands with you like he did the apostle and strengthens you. And he'll give you that strength. Think of the sweet promise. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know, I come in very guilty, and no doubt some of you do. We think we're going to have the same strength tomorrow as what we've got today. But the Lord didn't say that. As thy days. You've got to come into tomorrow, if we're spared, to prove the strength. And he knows what strength you're going to need for it. He did with the apostle. There's no doubt when he was cast into prison and then put on that ship to sail with all those 276 prisoners, he didn't know what they were going to encounter, did he? Nor did they. Nor did the captain of the ship. But he was going to have to prove this, the need of the Lord to stand with him and the need of the Lord to strengthen him. And he proved it, didn't he? But he had to come to that day and that hour. One of our hymns speaks of it very beautifully, doesn't it? Where it says, strength equal to the day. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. It seems as though the dear apostle was so endued with the Holy Spirit, as he writes to Timothy, that he really emphasises how the Lord stood with him, and particularly how the Lord strengthened him. And there's no doubt that Timothy was going to need this for the days to come. Because, as Paul proved, as we looked at this morning, there were many adversaries. There were the Demas against him. There was the Alexander the coppersmith that did him much harm. And he needed strength to stand against them, didn't he? But I must go further. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply that to you and to me and strengthen me. Because we should need this. But then he goes further and he gives another sacred reason why the Lord stood with him. That by me the preaching might be fully known. I want to look at this in two ways as help. First of all, his preaching was a most blessed ministry. And what made it such a blessed ministry, the apostles' preaching, was because he was so endued by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit was, whenever he was called to preach, was so upon him that he was able to preach a precious Jesus to poor black vile sinners. And he was able to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the divine doctrines of that gospel. And through his preaching, you think of the churches that he went to. Dear young ones and children, you can look on the maps in the many of the Bibles and you can see the voyage that he took of all the places he preached, those tours he did. And if ever a man's ministry was blessed, it was the apostles'. It was why. Why was he so to be used that the gospel might be fully known? You see, as he went to some of those places, they were poor, needy sinners. Many of them had been brought up under the old dispensation and the Levitical law, but how he preached to them the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. He was to be fully known through his preaching. Oh, it was. In every place that he went. But then, secondly, it was to be fully known by his preaching through the epistles. You look at the letters to the churches, to Rome, to Corinth, to Philippi, and to the Ephesians, to the Thessalonican church, and here to his sons in the faith, both Timothy and Titus. You know, the gospel through those letters was to be fully known. And what is so wonderful too, though much of it was written from a prison cell, like with John Bunyan when he was in Bedford jail, he was bound, the apostle was bound naturally, but the word of God wasn't bound. And nor was the preaching bound. It was why? That it might be fully known. And oh, you think of the wonders, really, of it being fully known right down to this present day and will be to the end of time. There's no doubt that the dear apostle, when he wrote these letters to the churches, never expected it to be to the end of time. But that was because of the God of heaven that it was to be to the end of time. the Lord was to anoint him especially for that work. So the second reason, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me preaching the might be fully known. Might be fully known. That seemed very sweet to me. Fully known. Not partly, but fully known. And I would just tarry a moment here, because may we in these solemn dark days, each of us, be brought to a blessed and sacred knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ as our Saviour, our Redeemer. That it might be fully known to us. Man cannot give it, but the Holy Spirit can. You think how when Philip preached down in Gaza in the desert to the eunuch as he sat in his chariot. Look how the gospel through Philip was to be fully known to that dear eunuch. So he could truly say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. But then he goes further. And the third thing that dear Paul speaks to Timothy is, and that all the Gentiles might hear. You see, it wasn't until the Acts of the Apostles, when the Saviour had ascended into glory, that it was first to be made known unto the Gentile race. And you look how when Peter went into Cornelius's house, he preached to that Gentile house the dear Lord Jesus. And you look how they heard that all the Gentiles might hear. And oh, how many heard the dear apostle with an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. My mind goes, and I seek to be led into this, but my mind goes to the dear woman of Samaria. Now, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Let's ever remember that. But you look, there was this dear woman, a poor sinner, fallen in sin. And when she goes to draw water at the well, and there the Saviour comes, and he desires water. She desired it, naturally. And we all do, don't we, to refresh our bodies. But, you know, how he spoke to her. She said, I know that the Messiah's coming. When he cometh, he will tell us all things. And what did Jesus say to her? She didn't know him. But how he spoke to her, she heard and perceived that he was some prophet. And then she speaks, I know that the Messiah's cometh. When he is come, he will teach us all things. And what did Jesus say? It's a beautiful word. I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, you think about that tonight, this afternoon. I that speak unto thee am he. And what happened? She heard as if she'd never heard before. She heard from the lips of the Saviour for herself. And what do we read? She went out into the city. And what did she say? come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And what happened? Many believed because of the dear woman saying. They heard, not just because of her, but we read further. They believed not just because of the woman's sayings, but they heard him themselves, that all the Gentiles might hear. Oh, may there be in England and throughout the British Isles and many of the nations of the earth yet that glorious message of the gospel, that all the Gentiles might hear. And they are here for their soul's profit and for the glory of God. Oh, may this word be fulfilled in these dark and solemn days. You think of the thousands that go by this chapel on a Lord's Day. Many, no doubt, we are not the judge, but many, no doubt, have no concern about their souls or eternity. And who has made us to differ? But oh, that there may be those yet to hear. Those Gentiles might hear. And go back to the previous clause. And that their preaching might be fully known, fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. But then, he gives another sacred reason why the Lord stood with him. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, as Paul writes this to dear Timothy, there's no doubt there was one particular lion that was troubling him and roaring at him. We know there are others, and I'll mention them in a moment. But what he was implying to Timothy here was this. The solemn threats of those that hated him and were trying to destroy him were like a roaring lion. But what did the Lord do? He delivered him out of their mouth. Oh, he did. The Lord did it. You see, if we went go back to what we commenced with this morning, of how his friends forsook him, and his enemies laughed at him and roared. It was a lonely place. But ah, look at the wonderful deliverance of the Lord from the mouth of the lion. You see, what they were out to do was to destroy the dear apostle. But the Lord delivered them, delivered him out of their mouth. Oh, he did. The mouth of the lion. That's the first lion to think of. And there may be those breathing out threatenings and slaughter against you and against me. It's like the mouth of the lion, you see, open, ready to devour. And that's what they were. But the Lord delivered him. And he reminds Timothy of this wonderful deliverance. And he goes further in the following verse. He said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the dear man could look at those wondrous, wonderful deliverances. Oh, he could. And well could he write on another occasion, "Who hath delivered us and will yet deliver us from so great a death." He looks back to the wonderful deliverances. He looks forward by faith to further deliverances. But, and we hasten, we think of another great lion that plagues the child of God, and did the Apostle Paul, Satan. We're told in the Word of God that he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, naturally, we've got no power to stand against a roaring lion. When you look at a lion, the king of the beasts, naturally, many have been destroyed by lions. But we think of the arch enemy of our souls, Satan. And if you've got a real religion like the Apostle Paul had and like Timothy had, Satan wouldn't give them any rest, and nor will he you or me. But poor soul, you look to the apostles' God, the living God of heaven, who is able to shut the lion's mouths. And that's why we read together that beautiful chapter in Daniel. Daniel's wonderful deliverance from those lions. What did the Lord do? He sent his angel and he shut their mouths. Those mouths of the lions, you know, were locked together by God, and they couldn't touch Daniel. Oh no. You've heard me say before, but one of the old preachers used to say, when Daniel was in the den of lions, he was in the safest place he could ever be. Why? The lions couldn't touch him, could they? Nor could the enemies that put him in there. Because they feared those lions. The Lord had shut their mouths. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord shuts the mouth of a lion. And especially when he shuts Satan's mouth. And shuts the enemies of the truth mouths. Because he can. He has all power to. You see, the God that dear Paul worshipped, as he writes these words to dear Timothy, was the living God of heaven, who has all power in heaven and in earth, power to shut lions' mouths. And there'll be many lions that'll creep up in your heart, poor soul. The hymn writer said, didn't he, many a lion is in the way found. There's a lot of lions in us, isn't there? Our unbelief. There, so unbelief soon opens its mouth and wants to speak. Our pride, our self-righteousness, but the Lord can shut their mouths. And then, of course, there's men like Paul had here, particularly in Alexander the coppersmith, who did him much harm. He was like a roaring lion, and he was out to destroy the dear apostle, but he never could. Why? Because the Lord shut his mouth. And he reminds Timothy, and I want to, just before we leave it this afternoon, remind you that the same God that delivered the dear apostle can deliver your soul from all the roarings of Satan and of men and of devils and even lions naturally. Whatever they be, he can shut their mouths. And they cannot hurt. What did Daniel say? When the king went to him, when Daniel was in that den, the king said this to him, "Is thy God," what a question, "whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" And what did Daniel say? "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they cannot hurt me." And they couldn't touch him, you see. Why? The Lord stood with Daniel. Oh, he did. You look at those presidents and princes, how they tried to destroy Daniel. Why was it? All because of jealousy. It's as cruel as the grave. But the Lord was to shut their mouths, and not only to shut their mouths, but to destroy them. Oh, he was. And the same God that delivered the apostle and delivered Daniel can deliver you from all the darkness you may be in, all the distress, all the temptations, all the opposition of the lions. He can deliver. Go back to what I mentioned just now. Who hath delivered us and will yet deliver us from so great a death. And then, of course, there's the great lion of death. But the Lord will deliver his dear people from it. Why? Because Christ suffered in their room, place and their stead and died for them that they might live. And the apostle was one of these he suffered, bled and died for. And they, both Timothy and the apostle now, join in that everlasting song in glory to crown him Lord of all. Well, I haven't got far with this, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the text to us, and may we be favoured to feel, and it's my great desire and concern, what the apostle did here, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And may it be so with each of us. Amen.